Absolutely. I wanted to make very perfectly clear. Now, Reverend Patterson, do you have any questions? You are right after Laura. You have 3 minutes, and your focus is, of course, the 100 ready workers. And I'm going to try to do, did the reporters get this, they didn't get this agenda, right? They didn't get the timed agenda with titles
That's
and
correct.
All that kind of stuff.
I didn't send it out to everybody. I gave everybody a list of you guys speaking in kind of the approximate order in which you guys would be speaking.
Okay, so
it'd be great if everybody makes a point, of course, of identifying themselves as starting, just like we usually
do. So even though I say I would now like to turn it over to Laura Barrett, Gamaliel Campaign Director, to describe the finding methodology of the study, I still think that then we want Laura to introduce herself again, right?
Quickly, yeah. But people do have names and titles. And if there are any questions, certainly you can tell folks, I can stick around for a couple minutes afterwards or announce my phone number at the end if people have questions and or whatever seems like is helpful. And obviously people can follow up in the Q&A.
So how many people do we have on the call, Gordon, right now?
Let's see. Well, it looks like to ourselves. Pastor Patterson, is that you?
Yes, I'm on the call.
Great. Welcome. Then in addition to all of us, it looks like we have about a half a dozen other folks who are on the call. Looks like a couple of folks from the St. Louis area, from Kansas City.
Great.
Wonderful. So I'm just going to wait for 10 and then get started. So good morning, everyone. It's 10 a.m. This is Anna Garcia Ashley, and you have joined the Call on Jobs and More Jobs, the Economic Impact of Community Organizing. I am going to wait a few minutes to make sure that everyone is on the call, to give the opportunity for people to get on the call. 10:02, I am letting them lay out the agenda for the call and who we have on the call. So just want to give you a few minutes for everyone to get on the call. I think it's that time. This is Anna Garcia Ashley. I'm the executive director of the Gamaliel Network, and we have an amazing panel from affiliates across the country. We have in Wisconsin. We had Dr. David Walls from our project, North Bay-based organizing project in California. And, of course, we are going to be joined by our campaign director, national campaign director, who leads this project, Laura Barrett. So I would like to, we have a real short agenda and a lot of wonderful stuff to learn about. So what I would like to do is our speakers are going to have each 3 minutes. And when that's concluded, we're going to open up to any members of the media who are online. I would like to now ask if there's anyone from any of our state media online to please introduce themselves now before we start the program. So is there anyone from the media? We want to welcome you. Okay, and the person who is in charge of controlling, Gordon Myers, our communication director and development director. Gordon, are there any instructions or anything that I need to do before moving on?
No, we're great. Thank you very much. There are, you know, about a half a dozen folks on, and you know, I'm sure people have questions after we're done. We can invite them to ask away.
Okay, well, I'll just go ahead and move right along. Is many of you have had the opportunity to get the report, Jobs and More Jobs, the Economic Impact of Community Organizing. Many of you know that this is part of our Gamaliel Network Fire to Faith campaign that focuses on jobs. And you have read some of our material about why post Ferguson living wage jobs for minorities and women have to be an essential element of racial justice. And Gamaliel has focused on moving us to save or create jobs in the communities where we work, and that is an essential part of our Fire of Faith campaign that focuses on our congregation, our base, building our base, our economy, which is creating jobs, and also democracy, working on voter registration and also civic engagement. I am going to turn it over to our campaign director, Laura Barrett, so that she can give us the findings, summary of the findings and the methodology of the study. And, of course, you know, all of you can get the study online at gamaliel.org. But I would like to turn it over now to Laura Barrett.
Thank you so much, Anna. Many of the reporters on the line may be familiar with the fact that we've been very heavily involved with the whole Ferguson situation, since we have a group here in St. Louis that has been here for 20 years, and then we also have a group in Milwaukee who is reacting right now to the news about the prosecution not going forward on the police officer there. So we know that it's really important to reform, do the criminal justice reforms and reform the excessive fines that are taking place here in Missouri, and we have a whole campaign with county, the newly elected executive around that. But we know that the long-term solution is really around jobs. And so our concern is, you know, figuring out what are we actually doing to create jobs as a community organizing network. And we did a report for 2006 through 2011 called Community Organizing as Job Creator. And at that point, we used government formulas and applied those to the victories that we had won, and then used a gross domestic product multiplier to figure out both how many jobs did we create, and, you know, through the various victories of this organizing network, and then what kind of effect did that actually have on the economy. And what we found back then was that we had, our organizing work had actually raised $16 billion, which seems incredible, but we work very heavily on mass transit, which and food justice, both of which have a very high payoff in terms of the amount of dollars that we end up winning. We always win these in coalition with other people. So we know that when, you know, Metropolitan Congregations United is working on a mass transit campaign, they're also working with Citizens for Modern Transit and all kinds of other transit allies. So most of these are won in coalition, and we wouldn't want to act like we did that all of this organizing all by ourselves. But what we wanted to do was take a look at the victories that we were intricately involved in. And so this year, for the report, it was just 2 years, 2012, 2013, and I'm looking at page 9 right now on the report if you want to follow along. We won victories worth nearly $13 billion, creating more than 450,000 jobs and generating more than $17 billion in gross domestic product. And so that's the findings for this year. It's in a variety of categories, food justice, which we received a $2 million grant from the Secretary of Agriculture. Moses didn't specifically receive that. They made sure that that happened in the Detroit community. And then infrastructure, job training, transit, those are all some of the categories. And there's some specific write-ups of four different case histories. We're going to hear from some of the folks around that. And you can see on page 12, actually, we break that out by the millions, then the jobs, and then the amount on the gross domestic product. You know, this is not an exact science, and what we tended to do was really err on the conservative side, and we also are aware that this doesn't represent the entire amount of work that our network did, because there's certain wins that we have, like Ban the Box, which was just won in Kansas City, Kansas, means there's no people who were formerly incarcerated no longer have to check a box when they apply for a job at the city government. Those kinds of wins really can't be calculated. So this is really more of the sort of hard wins of the network. And what we tended to do was err on the conservative side and really try to take the more minimal approach in terms of the amount of money. We're also aware that all kinds of other organizing networks could do similar work and say, you know, if they added up all of their organizing, they would post similar results to what we have, but we knew we had the figures on the work that we had done, and so that's basically how we came up with this science of documenting what kind of impact community organizing has on the world. So, Ann, I think that's everything I needed to say about that, and I'll be ready for questions when we go to that part of the agenda.
As a person who did not know anything about community organizing, this is Reverend Patterson from UCM, United Congregations of Metro East. I'm a pastor in East St. Louis. We're about 70. The unemployment rate is about 65% to 70%. And we had a group of people who needed to work in the construction trades because they were doing a lot of new construction. They built a brand new bridge over the last 5 years, and all of the infrastructure that was connected to that bridge was in Illinois primarily, and much of it in East St. Louis. But none of the people in the city were getting any of the work, even though some of them were qualified already. And so as a result, we began to, through Gamaliel's organizing and through UCM's connections with political leaders, we began to find a way to assess how much of that was under IDOT's control, the Illinois Department of Transportation. How much money did they control? And we found that they controlled anywhere from $3 to $8 billion a year just in construction with highways and bridges. And so we wanted some of that work, and we, under the leadership of the organization, of Gamaliel Organization, we began to meet with the secretary of IDOT and make some demands on her. As a result, we demanded that some of our minority contractors be allowed to apply for DBE certification, that's Disadvantaged Business Enterprise certification with IDOT so that they could successfully bid as subcontractors on some of these large contracts. As a result, three of them were certified, not without a fight. We had a tremendous fight with the governor, with the IDOT office. We had to go by busloads and take people to fight for that. But we needed leadership. We didn't know how to do it. As a result, one of the contractors now has been able to hire people from our 100 Ready Workers list. And this was the idea that our UCM director came up with. She said, they're always saying we don't have people qualified. We don't have people ready to work. If they wanted to hire some people from your area, they're not prepared. She said, let's come up with a list of 100 ready workers and make sure those people on that list are prepared. And even then, we had a struggle. So we went to the Secretary of IDOT, and her lawyer said, why don't you get your own people certified and let them hire their own people? And so we thought, well, let's try that. And we did, and it worked. Now, Mr. Slack, who is one of the contractors, has hired three people who now have certification. Two of them are licensed laborers, and one of them operating engineer. And we have convinced the operating engineers local, the union, to train to get some of our people into their apprenticeship training. We, 2 years ago in 2011, we had no clue that this would happen. But between 2012 and 2013, everything began to open up for us. And
you guys done some amazing job, Reverend Patterson. I'm going to cut you off there some questions can be asked. And then I'll bring you back up. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of questions for you, Reverend Patterson. Let me just bring on to the call to the conference, Brian Osai, who is case manager and community organizer in Wisconsin, part of Wisdom with Project Return in Milwaukee. And Brian, if you can tell some of the work that you're doing. And then we will come back to more questions. Thank you so much, Reverend Patterson.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Brian Osai, and I'm a case manager with Project Return, a community organizer with Project Return and MICA through Wisdom. And some of the work that I do is just help individuals who are being released from prison try to make a positive and permanent return back into our community. So what I do, I help them create resumes for job search. I also help them with job leads, helping them understand how their conviction can hinder them from finding employment. A lot of agencies now are just throwing job leads at them, but getting the client to understand how the conviction conflicts with the position that they're going for is a big help. I also facilitate a group, a support group for men and women that's coming home, just for them to have support in our community. But one of the biggest things for Project Return that I do is trying to find the jobs for the people. And it's a tough task because you have people that's coming home, you know, who've been to prison 2, 3, 5 times maybe, and some of them don't have skills. And so we send these people to places where they can get skills. And then when they are job ready, the employers here tell them, you know, well, you don't have work experience. And so that's a tough thing to hear, especially coming from a neighborhood. You go back and resort into what you used to know what to do, and that might be robbing somebody or selling illegal things to make ends meet. And that's just one of the issues that we face here in Wisconsin. They did a study our unemployment rate was, I believe, like 12%. And, you know, it's ridiculous, you know. We always talk about how can we do better with crime. It's simple. You know, give people jobs. Get these people are getting educated and learning skills to get jobs, you know, but then are being told no. You know, give people jobs. You know, we want the crime to go down. Give them livable wages, you know. It's hard to support a family off of $725, you know. And we have people that are thankful for $725, you know, but $725 can only go so far, you know, before that negative mentality starts to come back in. So, you know, if Christmas time comes around and I can't do anything for my family, I might go out there and sell me a little something, you know, so my family can have a better Christmas, and I could potentially put myself back into prison, you know. So, like I said, giving our people livable wages is a must, you know. It'll help our community. It'll help our families in our communities. We don't have to worry about someone looking at someone else's pockets because they have livable wages, you know. So that's a task that we're in Project Return that we're doing. It's a tough one, but it can be done.
Thank you so much, Brian.
No problem.
You guys have been doing amazing work in Milwaukee. Now I would like to bring us to Dr. David Walsh from North Bay Organizing Project, leader and professor emeritus at Sonoma State University. Just published his book, Community Organizing, Fanning the Flame of Democracy. So everybody need to go run and get it. He is a leader in the Gamalia Putting America Back to Work campaign. Dr. Walsh, I'd like to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Anna, and good morning, everyone. Gamaliel's Putting America Back to Work campaign is aimed at updating the affirmative action goals for apprenticeships and employment under federal contracts. 49 years ago, President Lyndon Johnson signed Executive Order 11-246, establishing affirmative action and equal opportunity goals for federal contracts. Now, targets were established, but some of the most important ones have not been revised since 1980, even though the proportion of women and minorities in the labor force have changed greatly. Women, for example, constitute, however, only 2.6% of the 7 million construction-related jobs in 2013, so there's a long ways to go here. Now, the specific focus of our campaign are two sets of guidelines in the Department of Labor and one in the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The workforce utilization goals for women and minorities in the Office of Federal Contract Compliance in the Department of Labor and the standards for apprenticeships are those two. And in the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Section 3 workforce regulations. Now, these regulations were supposed to be revised and issued this year, but have been held back by the Office of Management and Budget. So Gamaliel has been planning an action to prod the White House to issue these regulations in time for the 50th anniversary of Executive Order 11-246 in this next year, 2015. And our action, workers on the bus, will take a local Gamaliel affiliate members to Washington, D.C., with a bus that's going to start in St. Louis and proceed to Milwaukee, Chicago, and other destinations along the way. Other people from like our parts of the country might fly to Washington and join them there. This will be scheduled right now for the week of April 19th when Congress returns following its spring break. We plan to lobby officials at the Department of Labor, at HUD, the Office of Management and Budget, as well as meet with our congressional representatives and senators. And we know these regulations can have a major impact. I work through our organization with a woman, Dee Sosa, who's a an electrician and now a went through an apprenticeship with the IBEW and is now a business agent for her union and a member of the North Bay Labor Council. And a similar person works, a woman works with the Construction Labor Council in Alameda County in the Bay Area. So we've seen a couple of great examples of how people can benefit and prosper and make good wages through getting into apprenticeship programs in the construction trades. I'll stop there and we'll respond to any questions people might have.
Thank you so much, David. Now, I would like, we have 7 minutes left on the call, so I would like to open it up for anyone from the media or they have any questions for our panelists.
Radio, and this question may be for Laura Barrett, but really anyone could take it. Specifically, in looking at Ferguson, what is the what are the goals for Ferguson, and what do you think needs to be done to get more jobs in North County?
So one of the things that we've worked on has actually been touted as a national model by former U.S. DOT Secretary Ray LaHood, it was the Missouri model, and it was the job model that we created around the rebuild of I-64. As Reverend Patterson said earlier, they're now using that same jobs model on the Stan Musial Bridge, which has led to greater diversity with the workforce there as well. We think it's just absolutely essential that good-paying construction careers and other careers are opened up to minorities and women. And, with the other piece of this is just, with the MSD rebuild, making sure that that also has the diversity that MSD is committed to with MCU, that they actually fulfill that. So that's part of it. We also are working on getting, Steve Stanger to hold a summit that would gather together all of the mayors and the law enforcement officials to start to address the more immediate issues of excessive fines and criminal justice. But we think that, employment is just essential in the long-term picture to make sure that we've got folks who are who have jobs and who are able to support their families.
Thank you, Laura. Are there any other follow-up questions to that? Thank you. Do we have any of the other organizer on the ground from East St. Louis or St. Louis? Just wanted to make sure to give an opportunity to also add to that the work of racial dismantling structural racism work that MCU, UCM is doing with the sacred conversations and how that goes in line with also looking at what Laura just said, increasing the diversity in work and focusing very clearly and in the employment and changing these regulations that David spoke about, how all of this is really connected. Are there any other questions from any of our affiliates or anyone else that is on the call that is not a reporter? If not, with the 4 minutes that I have left, I would like, David, for you to lift a little bit about what are some of the next steps that those of us who are on the call can do to support this Camellio Putting America Back to Work campaign in 2015, just kind of lifting those up again so that we're clear.
Sure. One of the things that we're doing is conducting a campaign among all the affiliates who would like to participate to collect signatures on petitions or collect postcards that are endorsing the upgrading of these, updating of these regulations for regarding women and minority employment. So any one of the affiliates can put together signatures, whether or not they have people who are able to come to Washington either on the bus trip or flying in from some more distant part of the western mm-hmm. part of the country, or southern for that matter. So it's possible to, you know, lobby congressional representatives when they're home for the spring break. There's a number of ways that we can put pressure on, in conjunction with the bus trip and promotion for the bus trip and local press conferences as the buses come through and pick up members and so forth. So there's a number of ways that we can show support for moving this updating of affirmative action goals.
Wonderful, wonderful. I like to thank Reverend Patterson and Brian and of course you, David. Laura, is there any, with the 1 minute that we have left, is there any direction to either some website materials or anything that you want to leave us with in terms of where, the report is excellent, and like David said, any one of our affiliates in the 16 states or in allies and partners can be part of this campaign, and you stated that as well. But is there any material that you want to point people to just to so that we can follow up after this call?
Sure. I mean, I think taking a look at the original study is it's still on our website is a good place to start. But also, you know, as we move into the next year, immigration will continue to be an issue for us, and we have a lot of materials about that on our website. While we are thrilled that the president did take some action on immigration, we still don't have a path to citizenship for everyone, and that Gamalia will continue to push for that in the next year, as well as making sure that, as they call it, DAPA is enacted, and we'll continue to work on education as well. And there's a lot of materials on our education equity campaign, which we didn't talk about as much on this call, but is really a concern for us in a whole bunch of cities, getting restorative justice programs started in high schools. We think that that's another important step, is to teach young people about peacemaking, and it's a campaign we've been pursuing in Sonoma and Buffalo and several other places. So we'll continue with all that work as we move forward into 2015, as well as voter work, Anna.
Well, I'd like to close the call by thanking the panelists and thanking all of you who joined us. And in really going back to something that Reverend Patterson said about we know that we could do this, but community organizing, she clearly outlined that it's about developing leadership. It's about working together in so training and development. I think she lifted that very important part of our work with Gamalia. So thank you so much, everyone, for being on the call, and please pick up the study. You know how to get a hold of Laura Barrett or any of us, and certainly in 2015 we're going to hit the ground running, moving, creating jobs and more jobs. So happy holidays, and thank you for being on the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. I'm going to ask if there are, I guess we'll close the call and say thanks and goodbye. Or are there any additional questions? Can I help you guys out with anything? Hello?
Hello? Anybody there?